Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 23rd day of June 2022. I'm thrilled to have two returning guests today. The first hour, we're going to be featuring Kathy Barnett, a recent candidate for the United States Senate in Pennsylvania, and she is going to be addressing an appraisal of the Republican Senate race in Pennsylvania. And the second hour, we're going to be joined by Pastor Joel Saint, who is the executive director of Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, host of the Think and Reform podcast, and pastor of Independence Reform Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. And we are going to be addressing a special event that he is speaking at tonight. So that will be the second hour. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Kathy Barnett.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on the program again, Kathy. And let's start off with an obvious question. What do you think happened that caused the loss of your campaign during your recent candidacy for United States Senate in Pennsylvania? Obviously, as Christians, we believe God is in control of everything, but there are human factors on this planet that he uses to bring about his purposes. And I was just curious, obviously, the natural question would be, why do you think this campaign of yours failed when it seemed to be doing so well? And in fact, you were on the rise in your popularity, and the statistics had you neck and neck, basically, with Oz in the race for Senate. So tell us, in your opinion, what was the reason for the failure?
Yeah, I don't see it as a failure completely. Over 330,000 Pennsylvanians voted for me, and they defy some, you know, formidable odds. They defy the establishment who was telling them not to vote for me. They defy the unprecedented smear campaign that came out against me. They defy Donald Trump himself, who was spending money and doing a lot of tele-town halls telling people not to vote for me. And yet, over 330,000 plus Pennsylvanians, almost a third of the vote, came out and voted for me anyway. And so I am so grateful to the people here in Pennsylvania who just refused to be deterred. They knew they had, a candidate that would actually espouse their values. They recognized that I was their best chance and ever getting anyone in office who would actually listen to them and fight for them. And so for that, I'm forever grateful. And I'm glad you made a distinction between, the fact that I am a Christian, like you and like so many of your listeners. And I do believe that God has plans and purposes. And I do not believe, that anyone on earth will trump God's plans for our lives. But I'm glad you made a distinction, because there were some human elements in what took place in those last 5 days. I read a couple of articles, and from my understanding, roughly $100 million worth of smear campaign came out against me specifically in those last 5 days. Our candidacy, our campaign was surging. We were going to win by the various polls and by what we felt and saw as well. And then you had the long knives of conservatives who came out against me. So, you know, generally we would expect as Republicans that Democrats would come after me, or CNN would come after me. And but instead it was people like Sean Hannity, Rick Grenell, Donald Trump himself were coming after me with really long knives and, spreading around all lies, creating clouds of ambiguity. For example, Sean Hannity was telling his audience on Friday night that I was a member of Black Lives Matter. And then 3 days later, he was telling the same people on Monday night that I was marching with white supremacists. I can't possibly be both of them, but they didn't have to prove anything. This is politics. They get to lie and just create a cloud of ambiguity. And so guessed that they, that smear campaign probably affected about 5%, and that's what we lost by, 5%. We have some, it's really sad, because people like Sean Hannity, Rick Grenell, and others, Greg Kelly, they know we have a group of people in our, in the Republican Party who are just gullible. Poor things, right? They're just gullible. And instead of trying to inform them, they chose instead to manipulate them. And that's exactly what they did. They knew that there was a segment in the population that they could just spread enough lies, create just enough cloud of ambiguity, that you will have those who are gullible, those who are uninformed, those who are just, you say boo, they tuck tail and run. They knew that there's a segment that if they just created enough of a cloud of ambiguity, they would buckle and do what they wanted. And that's what they did. But, as I look at it all, almost a little bit over a month now out, I've learned so much. And one, I recognize that, so much of my story from where I started from on that pig farm in southern Alabama, just grew up dire poor, dire poverty, grew up below the bottom rung of the economic ladder. I grew up in a home with no insulation, no running water, an outhouse in the back and a well on the side, and really struggled and worked really hard to get to just ground zero. Forget trying to, go from ground zero up. I had to work for years just to get to ground zero. I started off with such a deficit in life. And, and so much of my story prior to this senatorial run was all about what I did and, how I, kind of journeyed through life along with the Lord and, some people along the way. But this chapter of my life, it became very clear to me that it was not just about me, but it was, the people of Pennsylvania as well. This story is as much about them as it is me, because they defy tremendous odds. They want change. And that's the good news of all of this, is that they did everything they could to try to discourage people from voting for me. And yet they came out anyway. And that's about a third of the vote. So we only lost by like roughly 5%. So the establishment should truly be shaking in their boots, because we are not a fringe group of people. We are not a slim minority. We are very loud and very determined, and our values are better than the values of the RINOs, and certainly better than the values of the left. And so we are not going anywhere, and I'm very encouraged by that.
Amen. So am I. One of the things I was most angry about Sean Hannity's hit piece on you, or should I say hit pieces, it wasn't just one night that he did this, but if he was going to be consistent, he would have said the same things, or should I say, he would have brought into focus things that Donald Trump said during the Republican primaries that were infinitely more bizarre than anything that he claims you said. Let me just read. I'm not saying this to besmirch Donald Trump. I voted for him when he ran against Biden. I did not support him in the primaries, however. I supported Ted Cruz. Not that everything that Ted Cruz says and does is something that pleases me either. But Donald Trump, during the Republican primaries, said of Ted Cruz, his father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to the Oswalds being, you know, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, Trump said during an interview with Fox News. What is this right prior to his being shot, meaning Kennedy, and nobody even brings it up. They don't even talk about it. That was reported and nobody talks about it. And I mean, what he was doing, what was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald shortly before the death, before the shooting? Now, obviously, he is accusing Ted Cruz's father of being involved in the Kennedy assassination. And he also insinuated that Ben Carson may have been a child molester. He says while he was criticizing Ben Carson, he says, if you're a child molester, a sick puppy, a child molester, there's no cure for that. Now, and he said many other things as well during the primaries, especially if Sean Hannity was going to be consistent. He would have brought up those things during President Trump's primary race, and he never did because he supported President Trump. And so because he supported Oz in the Senate race against you, he did anything that he could to assassinate your character. And one of the things that puzzles me, and I don't know if what Hannity said was true or not, but he said that you ignored all attempts to contact you, to invite you on his program to respond to any of the accusations he was making. Is that true? And if so, why?
Okay, well, you said a lot. Let me start with the latter that you said regarding Sean Hannity. That is a lie. But everything else he said those last 5 days were a lie as well, so we should not be surprised. You can actually go to my Twitter page. You have to scroll down a lot because I actually said to Sean Hannity, since you're talking about me, then bring me on and give me the opportunity, bring me on. I'll clear my schedule Monday night, 9 p.m. It'll be huge ratings. You, me, and Mehmet Oz, the three of us, let's sit down. And let's go through all of these riveting questions you suddenly have for me. Because, of course, prior to them, me being enemy number one, I was on Sean Hannity's show 7 different times between radio and television. He could have asked me any of these riveting questions at any time, and he didn't. It was only towards the end when he wanted what he wanted. And in response to my tweet to him to come on to his show, he sent 6 tweets to me. I sent one requesting to come on. He sent me 6, and number 3 was a flat-out no, you can't come on. So he never invited me on. That's a lie. But to the other things you said in regards to what Donald Trump said or may not have said during the primary of 2016. I did not, I have not heard of any of those things that you've quoted, so I can't speak to that. And as it relates to, you know, what my opinion of Donald Trump, I want to be very clear. I believe that we can walk and chew gum at the exact same time. And so we can appreciate all that he did while president. For me, he was the best president I've ever lived under. Everything he said he was going to do, he did. I was not concerned as much about his personality as I was about his policies, and his policies were far superior than the policies of both Bushes, Clinton, Obama, and certainly Biden. And so as far as policies, making America energy independent, securing our border, making us strong, inflation, Biden inherited an inflation of 1.7%. Now it's, you know, have blown past 8% and will continue to rise. And so again, we have peace in the Middle East under Donald Trump. Who would have ever thought that? So as far as his policies are concerned and his presidency, you know, bravo. And I am eternally grateful for what he did and the environment in which he had to do it in. I mean, he was bombarded from the left and the right, even before he took office. And so I'm very grateful to, you know, to who he is and what he did during his time as president. And I certainly believe that he continues to have a very important voice, in this culture, that we're battling for our freedoms. But at the same time, so we can walk and chew gum, so we can, you know, we can applaud the things that he's done. But we can also, you know, put a spotlight on those things that he has done wrong. Donald Trump is not Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people in the Republican Party, MAGA people, who act like he's Jesus. He's not Jesus. He gets to be wrong. And we get to call him out when he's wrong. And so that's my, you know, from beginning to end, I walk and chew gum, people, walk and chew gum. He was great. When he was in office, we can appreciate all that he's done. We can appreciate the fact that we still believe he has a very important voice. It concerns me that he is making choices that would marginalize and minimize the impact of his voice. I want him to be very sober and thoughtful about the choices, the decisions he is making, so that his voice can remain relevant, because I believe it's very important. But at the exact same time, he's not perfect. He makes mistakes, and we can call those things out when we see it, like we can do not just for Donald Trump, but across the board. We have some really glaring issues in our party, and it does no one any good to turn a blind eye to any of it. We got to get some things right, and we need to get it right very quickly, because we are running out of runway to fix the issues that are taking place in our country. We don't have that much rope left. Our nation is in trouble, and that's the reason why I ran. If I felt that there were better people able to run, I certainly would have just aligned myself behind that person. I did not believe that we had a good options, and so I did my part. I did more than my part. I did my part, their part, her part, his part. I was doing a lot of people's part, you know, with the hope that Republicans in Pennsylvania had learned a valuable lesson. Out of coming out of these past 2 years, living under the totalitarian regime of Democrats, putting their foot on our throats, on our businesses, on our children and in their education. So I was hopeful that the people of Pennsylvania learned a valuable lesson. To the 5% who had not learned their lesson, hopefully over these next several years, they will really learn their lesson to focus and to not be so gullible and to do their part in fighting for our nation.
Amen. Well, by the way, I do agree with everything you said in your assessment of President Trump's presidency. I was only bringing up the fact that if Sean Hannity was going to be consistent in the way that he brought up quotes that are allegedly from you that were embarrassing, he would have done the same thing against Kamala.
And you know, and just briefly, you know, because I talked about it, right? They had to go back 10 years to find tweets, right? And of course they say, oh, she has a long history. That's not a long history. A long history would be go back 10 years and every day since 10 years up to today, right? But that's the trick and the tactic of, you know, those who are against freedom is that, you know, they don't want to discuss ideas. They want to just slander. They want to buoy their person, you know, prop up their person. And then I just want to tear down with, you know, a character assassination of people they don't like. And it only works because we allow it to work. If what Sean Hannity and others had done had not worked and people held to their gun and voted their conscience, then it would not have worked. But because it worked, and they got the person in that they wanted, I can assure you they will continue to do this. They will continue not to talk to you about the issues and how they're actually going to make your life better. They're going to continue to do character assassination on people because we, the voters, allow it to happen. Again, that's what I mean. We have to be better. I would love to put all the blame on Sean Hannity and everyone else, but I can't because I recognize we still live in a republic for however much longer we live in a republic. And in a republic, we get to choose, right? And so we have to do a better job, we as leaders in our nation, we as educators in our nation, but also those who are in a position to learn have to make themselves available to learn. Stop being so scary. Get out of the church pews and start going up and down the street, knocking on doors, joining different campaigns. I tell you, in the first campaign I ran in 2020, the people who were the most opposed to me running were people in the church. Church people, right? You go to church, they're like, oh, I don't know why you're doing this. I would never run for politics. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe you want to run for politics. Why would you want to run for politics? And so the greatest grief I've ever received has truly come from those who say they are Christians.
Now, was that really a protection of you to try to prevent you from getting involved in that ugly arena, or is it you're saying church people didn't think that you were qualified for that?
I don't think it has anything to do with qualification. Church people, you know, politics is ugly. Politics is dirty. And so why do you want to be involved in that? You shouldn't do that. But my thought is, if anyone should be involved in politics, it should be church people. It should be Christians.
Amen.
It should be
Amen.
It should be people. I mean, who else should be out here fighting for the heart and minds of our nation if not us? And generally what you find with church people, quote unquote, is that we wait for the world to walk through our doors on Sunday morning. That doesn't always happen. In fact, it's probably not happening as much as we would like to think that it does. So we, church people, myself included, those of us who say we know the difference between right and wrong, we should be out in the public sphere, at the public square, on the street corners, knocking on doors, competing for the heart and minds of our nation. Because the left, they're competing for the heart and minds of our nation. What do you think CRT is? And they're not asking for permission. They're just kicking down the front door, walking right in and saying, what are you going to do about it? And most of us are just tucking tail, sticking our head in the sand and running away. Now is the time. to find that backbone and to stand up. I mean, honestly, we are losing. Now, I say all of that with the understanding that I have read the Bible, and I do believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. There's no ambiguity about who he says he is. And I decided many years ago that either he is who he say he is or he's not. And if he's not, I decided a long time ago, I don't have time to play around and pretend. But if he is who he says he is, right? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the who was, the who is, and the who is to come. Meaning nothing happens outside of me saying yay and amen. And if that is who he says he is, then I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to stick my head in the sand. I can stand up and walk forward and say, this is right, this is wrong, let's have a conversation about this. No, I don't agree with that. That is what we're called to do. We're called to engage our culture, and we have the authority to do that. But we are about to lose that authority. Democrats are not playing with us. If you look at the bills that are coming down, I mean, overwhelmingly, they fundamentally change who we are as a nation, not just in rhetoric, but in the law. If you just take a look and start paying attention to the Equality Act, we are just one Senate vote away, where the cancel culture, which is real, will not only be able to, you know, to deplatform you on social media or, you know, to cancel you in the culture, but they will be able to charge you with a crime. They will be able to sentence you with time in jail. They will be able to fine you for the things that right now they are just canceling you over. So these people are not playing with us. When you see our children being dragged into a drag queen club and people are okay with it and they're doing it in broad daylight and they're doing it in your face, newsflash, we're losing. And it is time. Either we figure these things out and stop always learning and start doing, or we're about to lose our country.
Amen. And by the way, I want to let you know that every Wednesday I attend a Bible study. I participate in the Bible study that is run by the Christian Businessmen's Connection in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And every one of those men at that weekly study wanted me to tell you that they voted for you and are set and are saddened by your loss in that race. None of them wanted Oz to win that race. In fact, I don't know any truly conservative person, and I know a lot of truly conservative Christian people who wanted Oz to win that race. In fact, everyone that I know in Pennsylvania who is a conservative Christian told me they wanted you to win that race. But we're going to a break right now. If you have a question for Kathy Barnett, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. And please only remain anonymous if it's a personal and private matter. But since this is a former candidate for an office, I can't see there being any reason for a personal and private matter. So please give us your first name, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Kathy Barnett after these messages.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free. and put good literature in your children's hands.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in for the first hour, we have Kathy Barnett on the program. She is a recent candidate for the United States Senate in Pennsylvania, and she is addressing an appraisal of the Republican Senate race. And the second hour coming up, we have Pastor Joel Saint on the program, who will discuss an important event that he is speaking at this evening. If you have questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And now, I don't want to belabor the issue of Sean Hannity's attacks of you and claims of statements you made, but just to clear the air, The only ones that I can recall that I've even seen in print in front of me that he made that may be most alarming for anybody running for any political office. He claims that you insinuated or accused Obama of being a homosexual Muslim. He said that you believed that Muslims should not be able to immigrate into the United States. And he also addressed the statue issue, which, in my opinion, is a very weak argument for Sean Hannity to be making when Fox News celebrated the election of Joe Biden with beaming smiles and so on. I'm not saying that Sean Hannity was smiling over that, but the hosts that covered Biden's election were very physically giving the impression they were pleased and they were celebrating with him. But as far as those other comments, were they outright lies? Were they taken out of context?
Couple of things. You can go to my website at barnettforsenate.com, those who are interested, and you can actually read my change.org petition for adding statues. If you recall, during the summer of 2020, it was a very formidable movement of tearing down statues all across our nation. And at that time, they were getting ready to tear down the Emancipation statue that I think it was about 100 freed slaves pulled their monies together to build this, to commission this statue, and now all these years later, people who are ignorant of history were calling for that statue to be removed. And of course, I think it's a brilliant idea that I came up with, but of course, I'm living among some people who, you know, aren't so brilliant, but I think it's a great idea is that we continue to tell our story. Each of these statues, they only, you know, they just represent a moment in time. They do not tell you what happened before, what happened after. They just tell you in this moment, on this day, boom, this is where we are. And so I was proposing that we continue to tell the story. So again, you can go to my website at BarnettForSenate.com. I have a tab that says the things you want to know about Kathy, and you can go there and read it for yourself, and you can let me know just how brilliant it is. And we were living in a culture that actually wanted to have these kind of critical dialogues, right? So that's one. And just for the record, I did not vote for Obama either term, because he does not align with my values, the things that are important to me. So I did not vote for him either time. And yet, again, going back to what I said about Trump, I have the ability to walk and chew gum at the same time. Regarding the tweet, so ridiculous. Again, these are tweets 10 years ago. None of them were full thoughts. They weren't even full sentences. It's whatever you can copy and paste into Twitter at that time, which I think was like maybe 90 characters. I don't even remember. And what they do, you know, because, of course, no one cares what I said 10 years ago. As I mentioned earlier, no one wants to talk about ideas and the things that are going to impact people at their kitchen table. Nobody cares about tweets from 10 years ago. What they care about are these gas prices. What they care about is the lack of energy independence. What they care about is the very real baby food shortages. So these are the things people care about, and these are the things we should force our legislators to have conversations about, not character assassination on things that no one cares about. But in regards to the tweets, they're not full sentences. They're not full thoughts. I know the context of which they were written in. I remember the time period. I don't remember the context of something 10 years ago. What if I dug in your boxes, found something you said or did 10 years ago, shoved it in your face and said, tell me exactly what you were thinking on that day? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they did, because they realized that, you know, we're in this kind of Kardashian culture where we just want, you know, just give me the 30-second, you know, digest version of everything. And we're going to be destroyed if we as a people do not demand that those who are supposed to be some of the wiser ones among us do not begin to, you know, just to be a little bit more educated. I mean, literally, in those last 5 days, I had anywhere from 30 to 35 news cameras following me at the exact same time everywhere I went. And so I would just stop and say, go, you know, I mean, you know, give me your questions. Give me your best questions, right? And do you know no one ever asked me about gas prices or baby food shortages or the war in Ukraine or Biden about to give nuclear weapons to Iran or open borders or the inflation or the shortages on our shelves? No one ever asked me anything that really mattered. I literally had people asking me questions like, are you going to abolish interracial marriages? I'm like, what?
Really? Yeah.
I'm black. What are you talking about? you know, but those are the kinds of questions people were asking me. And I just had to pause, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the reason why our nation is being destroyed. You know, there's a reason why the press has eminence in the First Amendment. You know, there are five rights in the First Amendment: freedom of religion, freedom of the press, I mean, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, to peacefully assemble, the freedom to address your grievances with your government, and freedom of the press. And there's a reason why the press was given that kind of preeminence, that kind of platform to be in the First Amendment, because it's so important that if you, you know, our founders knew that if you want this republic to continue, you must have a population who's not ignorant. about the things that matter.
Right.
Most, right. Most people can tell you what Kim Kardashian wore last night and what she's eating, what diet she's on.
Not me.
But most don't know what the first five rights of the First Amendment that I just said, the things that our legislators are blowing through right now. And so, again, I love America. I love our people. I think in the Republican Party, we have some of the best people. I was traveling over 1,500 miles every single week, sitting in, I was in some very humble homes. I was in some multi-million-dollar homes. You mentioned a county out here in Pennsylvania. I see faces. I see their eyes. I see their stresses. People are stressed right now. And you go to my website, it's all about policies. I did not run a negative campaign. I did not knowingly tell a lie on anyone. I never put out a negative campaign. I just focused on the people, focused on their issues, focused on ideas. And those last 5 days, there were no ideas being discussed. It was all about, tell me about those tweets from 10 years ago. I'm not going to demean myself and trying to figure out what I was thinking 10 years ago. I'm not a politician. I wasn't groomed for this. So what, and then compare it to what we're dealing with on the Democrat side. See, Sean Hannity brought those tweets out because he knows our people are weak-kneed, and we'll be like, oh, my gosh, oh, my goodness. But let's just look at what Democrats are dealing with. We have Congressman Eric Swalwell, who was in a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy named Fang Fang, and he's leading committees
right now.
He's tweeting out stuff. You have the person who's running against Mehmet Oz right now, John Fetterman. He chased a black man down in the street with a shotgun, and all the black man was doing was out for an early Saturday morning jog. And now this man is leading in two different polls that just came up. You have Hunter Biden. Do I need to say anything more? You have Joe Biden on tape, on video, talking about a quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government. And what have they done about any of that? You have Nancy Pelosi's husband with a DUI, and she's cashing in a $35 million stock on Google that rolls up into her committee. And what do Democrats do for their people? Oh, they promote them. But for our people, right, you get Sean Hannity pulling up a tweet from 10 years ago, and our knees start knocking. So unless you want Jesus Christ to come down here and to start running for offices, newsflash, you're not going to get perfection, people. But now, we don't want Hunter Biden on our side running for office. We don't want an Eric Swalwell. We don't want our people chasing innocent black people down in the middle of the street with shotguns. So we do have a bar we want to meet. But let's get real here. And let's learn to focus. I love our people. I love our country, but I'm not playing. We need to get better. We need to start doing better, and we need people who are going to tell us the hard truth with love. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter, but I am determined. I have looked behind the curtain. There is no one coming to save us. No one is coming to save us. So if we want to do our part, this is my race. Like Paul said, the race that has been set in front of me. When I stand before Christ, I will hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You ran your race, Kathy. I'm proud of you. That is what I think about, is when I'm going to have to stand in front of him, because I do believe that he is who he says he is. And as a result, I live my life. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I grow and I learn and I read and I challenge myself to always try to be better. And when I stand in front of him, he will tell me, well done, my good and faithful servant. I put in front of you a race and you ran it to the best of your ability. And I am running my race to the best of my ability. When I learn something new, I try very hard to incorporate it. When I make a mistake, I own up. I try to own up very quickly to it. So I'm doing my part. And my challenge, too, especially when I come on programs like yours, if I was on CNN, I won't be so direct, right? But I'm on a radio show called Iron Sharpening Iron. So I believe this is y'all iron. I'm your iron, sharpening you. You can sharpen me back. But we're truly in this together. And when you stand before Christ, because you will, if you're listening to this program, you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
He's going to, you don't want to be one of those that he says, get away from me.
Amen. Matthew 7.
You don't want that. You don't want him separating sheep from goats and you find yourself over there with the goats. You don't want to be saying, but Lord, look at all the things I did. Figure it out and begin to just simply ask him. Or just say to him, because that's what I did. In 2019, I went to Israel, and it was like a come to Jesus moment. And I began then praying. I had no idea I would run for office. This was never on my bucket list of things to do. I was homeschooling my kids, writing my book, going on TV for interviews. I had a completely different plan in mind. And I began in early 2019, going to Israel, and while there, I started praying almost daily. Here I am, Lord, use me. That was my prayer. Here I am, Lord.
Amen.
Use me. And, and I would say things like, Lord, work in me the will and the want to do your good will. Right? That's Bible, Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is, 2:14. Work in me. To want what you want, to, whatever is in me that is ugly, Lord, cleanse me. I used to say to him, because I read in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, he was so eloquent, wrote more than half of the New Testament. And I remember after he talked about our spiritual warfare and our armor, he says, okay, y'all, I'm getting ready to go in front of the king. Pray for me that when I open my mouth, God will give me the word. I was like, what? You've written half the You have plenty of words, Paul. But that became my prayer, is that God, when it's my turn to stand up, help me to stand.
Amen.
Right? I don't want to buckle. I don't want to run and retreat. I don't want to fail you, Lord.
Amen.
And, those are the kinds of prayers. Just start praying it.
We have time for only about one or two questions. We have Ernie in Lancaster County, who first of all says, please tell Kathy that so many of us love her and what she stands for. And he says, would Kathy like to speak about Dr. Oz and how he has eliminated all pictures and references and tweets of Trump endorsing him since the fake January 6th hearing? I didn't even know that. Is that true? And are you aware of that?
I am aware of it. And let me, because I have the county listening, let me just say, because if you're from Pennsylvania, it is pronounced Lancaster.
I'm a New Yorker originally.
I know, that's just funny. But listen, I want to clarify my approach towards the Pennsylvania senatorial race. I have withheld my endorsement because of profound concern during the primary. I withheld my endorsement during the primary because of profound concern that both of the remaining candidates, Oz and McCormick at the time, were globalists. And I'm continuing to monitor the behavior of Mehmet Oz in this regard. For example, he has, as you've noted, inexplicably distanced himself from President Trump, to whom arguably he owes his entire win to, right?
Right.
So now he's won, and now he's distancing himself from the president. And so, you know, 70%, you know, but this is something Mamet is going to have to work through. I want to see our party win. But more importantly than winning for me is making sure that our leaders listen to our voices. Over 330,000 Pennsylvanians voted for me, and I believe that their voice is important, and I want to see that their voice is being reflected. Mamet has some huge obstacles he needs to overcome. More than 70%, or roughly 70% of the Republicans who voted against him. He went into this primary, into this general election with an unfavorable rating of 61%. So he does not have a strong grasp of his base. And then when you, I don't know who's advising him, but I would have advised him differently. Instead of distancing yourself from Trump in order to make yourself more palatable to Democrats, you need to focus on the issues, right? That's what I've been talking about. Focus on the issues, economics, right? And not distance yourself, because a lot of people who did not vote for him did not do so because they, for whatever reason, felt like they could not trust him. Is he really a Republican, and is he really a conservative? So doing things like scrubbing your social media page and your website of all mentioning of Trump, you know, it's just not a good look. So I don't know who is advising him. I would have advised him differently.
Right.
But our people are good people. They want to do the right thing. They are open, to supporting him. But again, I believe he has to do the work to win them over. And win them over on issues, And so that's what he needs to do.
Amen. Well, Kathy, we're out of time. I wish we had more time to speak, especially because before we went on the air, Kathy was so encouraging to hear her speak of God's sovereign control over all things. And she's at perfect peace with the fact that she did not win the Senate election. And I would love to speak about more things like that with you in the future, how you have such trust in God's control over things. And I also thought it was hilarious that you have to get your driver's license renewed because you don't want anybody accusing a black woman of not having identification and not knowing how to provide an identification when you vote, as the liberals seem to think.
I know you got to go, but listen, everyone, I went to Nantucket. I lost my ID, my driver's license. I came back home, and I'm looking for it everywhere. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I go to the DMV, stand in line for over 2 hours, and I was determined to get this ID because, as you just said, I did not want to become one of the Democrat statistics that they use when they say black people don't know how to go get an ID. I go where the DMV is located. I don't know one black person who doesn't have an ID. And so I certainly didn't want to be one of their statistics.
All righty. Well, I look forward to having you back on the program, Kathy, and God bless you.
Blessing.
Bye-bye now. And don't go away, folks, because we do have a second guest coming up. Pastor Joel Saint, who has something important to announce regarding an event he is speaking at tonight. And if anybody has any questions for him, go to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I said,
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Please purchase frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I now introduce my upcoming guest for the second hour, who is Pastor Joel Saint, who's got an important event tonight that he wants to tell you about, we just have a couple of important announcements. First of all, if you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, put advertising in the subject line. Please remember that I never want anybody cutting into your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't give your own church less money to give us some money. And also, if you're really struggling to survive, please wait until you are financially stable and on your feet again before you send us a check. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. To provide for your church and family, providing for my radio show, is not a command of God in Scripture, obviously. But if you do love this show and you have extra money, collecting interest in the bank, extra money for recreational and frivolous purposes, pocket money, as it were, well, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. We really need your help, folks. There are 30,000 people on average, 30 to 40,000 people on average, who download the recordings off of our website, and yet we only have a tiny handful of people giving monthly. So please help us. We really need your help to exist if indeed you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church, a theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like the Independence Reformed Bible Church of Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Well, I have extensive lists of churches all over the planet Earth And these churches are biblically faithful and doctrinally sound. And if you are in an area where you're not aware of a good church, I may be able to help you find a church. I have those extensive lists spanning the globe. So I've already helped people in all parts of the world find churches near them, sometimes even within just a few minutes of where they live. And that may be the case with you too, or somebody that you love whom you are inquiring about. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Pastor Joel Saint, who is Executive Director of Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. He's the host of Think and Reform, a podcast, and he is also pastor of Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. We are addressing an event that he is speaking at tonight on the theme, Should We Want an Explicitly Christian State? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, Joel Saint.
Great to be back with you, Chris. Thanks for having me back on.
My pleasure. And for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with you, they may have missed your previous interview with us. Tell us about the Mid-America Reformation Society.
Yes, we got started with the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society here in southeastern Pennsylvania. It would be about maybe 10 years ago, and our purpose was to explore and lecture on and research and discuss issues that the Bible addresses that most pastors will not address. Obviously, the Bible talks about societal issues. It talks about payment for work. It talks about education. It talks about unions. It talks about self-defense. It talks about education. These are things the Bible talks about, but many pastors will say, no, I don't want to talk about that because I have people in my church that have a different opinion. We thought at first that we could help churches discuss these things. We found out, to our chagrin, I suppose, that the churches were pretty much okay where they were, and they pretty much saw the Bible as a book that tells you how to get to heaven, but says nothing about how to live on earth. So that's how we got started, the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. We've done dozens of lectures, and we've got YouTube lectures out there, dozens of them, on such topics as Who Would Jesus Tax, and many, many others.
Well, if anybody wants more information, go to midatlanticreformation.org. MidAtlanticReformation.org. Now tell us about the Think and Reform podcast.
Yes, that is a continuation of what we do. We will at times discuss movies, news articles, and really, honestly, Chris, it's kind of like an extension of what my father did growing up. My father would read us the Bible every night, and when a news issue would come up, he would sometimes sit back and say, you know what, the Bible speaks to this issue. And then he would talk about what the Bible had to say about a particular issue. So if it's true that the Bible speaks about everything and it's authoritative on everything, then there's nothing really that goes on in the newspaper, on the television, or in the world that the Bible doesn't speak to. So that is really what we do on the Think and Reform podcast.
And that website is futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. And last but certainly not least, tell us about the aforementioned Independence Reformed Bible Church of Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
Yes, indeed. Grateful for the folks that attend. We are an independent church. We got our start on July 4th, actually. This is about our ninth, 2013. So we're just about to come up on our ninth anniversary. And praise God, we've seen growth. We saw the most growth during COVID, because by the grace of God, we refused to shut down. I couldn't figure out in Pennsylvania why a man dressed as a woman who was supposed to have any kind of authority over the Church of Jesus Christ. and in the end, I might have mentioned this before. In the end, Chris, I got to tell you, we got thrown out of the place where we were worshiping at the time, and because nobody could go in because COVID. And what happened was I had to preach a sermon on Zoom, and my sermon on Zoom was that Zoom is definitely not church. We're called an assembly for a reason. Assemblies assemble, and Zoom is not assembling. happened was during that time, a lot of folks who were frustrated with their places of worship came over. I wasn't ever trying to do a big campaign, but people wanted to worship. God's people always want to worship Him. And so they came to a place that was open, and you know, we've grown somewhat steadily ever since. COVID was maybe one of the best things that ever happened to our church growth.
Well, praise God. And for more information on Independence Reform Bible Church, go to independencerbc.org. Independence, that's with a C-E at the end, not a T, independencerbc.org. And hopefully we'll remember to repeat that at the end of the program.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. That's actually, we actually had to update that. It's now just irbc.church is what it is, irbc.church.
Okay.
My apologies for not getting you that information earlier.
Well, it still goes to a website. I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, it does. Oh, okay. All right. Somebody must have fixed something. I'm not a tech guy.
Neither am I. well, there is an event tonight that if I had known about it earlier, I likely would have attended it. I just found out about it, I think, yesterday. But the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society is presenting a meeting that's tonight at 7 p.m. in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And I know that the only reason I know of the existence of Quarryville, Pennsylvania, not because I am a native Pennsylvanian, because I'm not, I'm a native New Yorker, but there is a well-known Presbyterian nursing home in Quarryville, so I have known about the existence of Quarryville for quite a while. You're having an event on the theme, Should We Want an Explicitly Christian State? And that is obviously a very controversial issue that even theologically reformed Christians have division over. And, of course, there are people who have different understandings of what exactly that would even mean. But if you could explain.
Sure enough. We took a look at the original Pennsylvania Constitution and asked the question, should we want a Christian state? Should we want that? Our Pennsylvania Constitution, of course, mentions God on more than one occasion, mentions the fact that God rules in the affairs of men. And so we wanted to ask that question and have a discussion about that. Now, there were, of course, a lot of folks that were offended that would even do that. Now, why would anyone be offended? And I noticed let's go a lot larger here, the United Nations. When Zambia years ago declared itself a Christian nation, boy, did heads explode at the United Nations. Now we have tons of officially, for example, Muslim countries, and no one seems to have a problem with that. So what happens, or at least not at the United Nations anyway. So what we want to do is discuss this question, and I will be asking three questions tonight and answering them. And 3 points that I want to make are, first of all, a consistent non-Christian state cannot consistently define right and wrong. Now, in every state, in every nation, in every political body, there's going to be laws, and laws define right and wrong. That's what they do. You pass a law because you say, look, this is the right thing to do. People aren't going to do it, so we have to pass a law to force them to do the right thing, and here's the punishment if they don't do it. But how? But how does a state define right and wrong to begin with? And they might define one thing right today and define it as wrong tomorrow. With no standard, with no eternal standard, how are they going to do it? I've never read Plato or Aristotle all that much, but my understanding is that both of them defended slavery as the natural order of things. Some were born to be slaves, some were born to be masters. Well, who's to say they were wrong? We might say they were wrong today. They said they were wrong right in their day. Who's to actually say? So that's my first point tonight. A consistent non-Christian state cannot consistently define right and wrong.
In fact, I have a longtime dear friend who is an Orthodox Jew, and he has told me for years that he has no problem with there being an existence, an explicitly Christian state, because he believes that the existence of true Christians, Christians who actually live according to the scriptures, that they are primarily the reasons why there is any Jews left on the planet. And his argument was that if there were many more true Christians in Germany in the earlier part of the 20th century, the Nazis never would have risen to power and the Holocaust never would have occurred.
And so so his point is that there are not too many Christians. His point is there are not enough.
That's right. As an Orthodox Jew.
If I'm getting it right.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. A little bit different from what many people are saying today. And of course, as you can imagine, I've been called all kinds of names. I've been called a Nazi. I've been called, we already know the standard ones, racist, white supremacist, white Christian nationalist, all this kind of stuff. The funny thing is about that is I have, seven of my nine children are married, and one of them is married to a Palestinian, and another one is married to a Brazilian. And I have a black grandfather. Now, it's not biological, but he basically adopted us and we adopted him. He lived for 15 years in our own house, died in our house, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral. Born in 1888, was a veteran of World War I, bought me my first baseball glove. He basically filled in the as a grandfather for me, because my grandfathers died, one died before I was born, one died shortly after. But of course, I'm a racist.
Well, I was accused of being a white supremacist a few years ago merely because I have a biannual pastor's luncheon in which only men are invited. And somehow that turned into being a white supremacist, even though the color of one's skin doesn't even come into the issue of the event. I'm a white supremacist. Well, tell us how a Christian state, as you envision it, would look like. What would a Christian state look like if it was biblically placed into being?
Yeah, for example, I believe we had a Christian state at one time. For example, a lot more than what we have now, for sure, perhaps inconsistent at times, but, and I'm not the only one to say this either. For example, John Quincy Adams said this. He said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one dissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. From the day of the Declaration," now this is again a president speaking, and also he was also a member of Congress after he was president. "From the day of the Declaration, they, the American people, were bound by the laws of God, which they all, and by the laws of the gospel, which they nearly all acknowledge as the rules of their conduct." So I would start by, to answer your question, starting like this. We do have such a thing as the Ten Commandments. Not a bad place to start. Specifically, the second table, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, that is a place to start. That's not the place to end necessarily, but that certainly is a place to start. We must ask ourselves, where does law come from? Does it just kind of ooze out of the sky? Is it a bunch of people standing around say, well, I think this is a good idea? Well, what's your standard for a good idea? Again, going back to Plato and Aristotle, their standard for a good idea was masters and slaves. That was a good idea to them. A Christian state would have as its law book, the very beginning, the Bible. It would go back to that source to establish what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil, what's punishable, what's not punishable. And this is a very important point here, because, Chris, all crimes are sins, but not all sins are crimes. We don't need the police at our door if our, you know, five-year-old daughter lies and says that she brushed her teeth and she didn't. So what do we establishes a crime? We have to go to the Bible to do that. We start there. It's the Word of God. I can't imagine a better place to start than the Word of God, because we either have the Word of God or we have the Word of man. the word of man is, might as well nail jello to the wall, as it's been said. That could, the word of man is a loose leaf notebook. It can change tomorrow, it can change today. The Bible does not do that.
Now, one of the things that make people very jittery is that they envision a return of a theocratic nation or nations such as were ruled by the Church of Rome. And the streets ran red with blood when the Church of Rome was wielding the sword. And, of course, they even had a concept of conversion to their religion that is totally foreign to the scriptures, that, that you are to use the sword to threaten and terrorize people in order to make a profession of faith that they deemed to be in accordance with the Church of Rome. And so this is one of the things that even you have some Reformed Christians saying, you know, wow, this is just really not what I ever want to see happen, because you have human beings who are sinners, even if they are professing Christians, and the errors that could be made when leading a nation are nothing but frightening, and et cetera. So how do you respond to that kind of response to what you are even saying here?
Yeah, certainly, and we get that all the time. A lot of points to make there. The first point I would make is this. So we don't want a Christian state, but we have 70 million dead babies. I wonder if we could interview the 70 million dead babies, what their thoughts would be on our secular state. My concern oftentimes with even Reformed folks that say, Christian folks say, no, we don't want that. My question is, well, what do you want? Who do you want making the laws? We have the Word of God that speaks to this. Now, speaking as a good Protestant here, obviously the Inquisition is not something I want to return to. But let's talk about let's talk about Protestant New England, for example, where there were very few executions. Very, very few. Now, we can talk about it. What people want to go to is, oh, what about the Salem witch trials? What? 12 people. And there's a lot more that could be said about that. However, during that same time, in France, many, many more people accused of witchcraft were killed. What I'm saying is, when you go back through history, first, I'll give you another example. A lot of people don't know this. When the pilgrims arrived at Plymouth, they made peace with the Indians, with Native Americans, if you want to be politically correct on that point. They made peace with them, and they lived in peace for 60 years. And they were doing their best to establish a Christian colony. All we had to do was read the Mayflower Compact. 60 years of peace. Chris, we haven't had 60 years of peace since. They had 60 years of peace, and it ended with King Philip's War with a local chieftain there. But think about this for a minute. Indians, the natives, were allowed to testify against white Europeans in their courts, and vice versa. There was peace in this Christian colony. I wish people would go back and understand these things. Alfred the Great, the only English king to be called great, gave us our common law. And where did he get it, the common law from? He went right to the scriptures. He went to Exodus. He went to the New Testament. We have, and you have Chris say, well, let's go back to the common law. Where did the common law come from? It came from the Bible. Alfred the Great was a consistent Christian, a man who understood the Bible and who wanted justice for his people, and he understood that he wasn't going to get it from any other place. So let's not mix up a perversion of the scriptures with the scriptures themselves.
Amen. And we have to go to our final break of the show. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I would urge you to send in a question immediately for Joel Saint before we run out of time, if you intend to ask a question. And we do have a couple of people waiting. to have their questions asked and answered. That's chrisarnson at gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002 or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Yes, and contrary to the claims of feminists on Facebook, I am not a white supremacist because of having this luncheon. And we are back, Joel Saint. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, how would you differentiate your envisioned Christian state from Sharia law other than the specific Muslim laws that would require the death penalty if they were violated?
It's certainly easy answer, really. Different God, different laws. The Bible has laws that are completely different from what is going on in the Quran, for example, and also in the Hadith. There's no cutting off of hands for theft, for example. There is payment back in kind, which makes a whole lot more sense. In Sharia law, if you're caught stealing, in by some interpretations, you cut off your hand. Now, how are you going to pay back what you stole if your hand is cut off? Whereas in biblical law, you are forced to pay back and sometimes pay back double, sometimes pay back an extra 20%. So that is the beginning of it, really. There are no, just quickly, apostasy laws in Sharia law don't exist in Christianity. Again, all we need to do, this is not difficult. Let's go back to the Puritan New England, where the Bible was preached. And those in authority believe the Bible and promote the Bible. And ask yourself if that looks anything at all like Sharia law. That's really all you have to do. It's not difficult.
Well, thank you, Arnie. And we've only got about 6 minutes left. So I really want, before I take any other listener question, I want you to have several minutes of uninterrupted time to basically get to the core of what you most want etched in our listeners' minds on an explicitly Christian state before we go off the air.
Thank you for that opportunity. Here's what I'd like to focus in on. I want to ask this question and answer it. Does the Bible speak to society? If you're a Christian and you believe the Bible is the Word of God, ask yourself this question. Does the Bible speak to society? And if so, what does it say? And then thirdly, are we not under God's curse if we disobey it? Now, some people are going to say something like this. They're going to say, well, you know, we have the Old Testament. Was that written to the Jews in the Old Testament? It's not written to us. It has nothing to do with us. Wait a minute. Let's just stop for a moment. We can read, for example, in the book of Amos. We read the book of Isaiah and certainly the book of Jeremiah, where God has some very serious things to say to pagan nations, nations that did not have his law, especially the last five chapters of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah lines up. Syria, Philistia, I don't think he aligned with Syria. Certainly the Babylonians he lined up and others that I can't even recall right now. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Did God, and this is a critical question I want to focus in on, does God require obedience from all men or do some men get a break? Like, you know what, I don't go to church so I don't have to obey God. No. He requires all men everywhere to repent. This is what I want to focus in on as much as I possibly can. And are we not doing a favor to the nations, to all men everywhere, to tell them there's a God in heaven and he commands them to repent?
You know, something that a lot of people may not realize, that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers in London in the 19th century, some of his most ardent opponents theologically were Calvinists who disagreed with him on that. They were hyper-Calvinists, and they did not believe that the unregenerate were duty-bound to repent.
Right, I would argue with that and say then why would Amos, Jeremiah especially, why would they call on the unbelievers to do exactly that, to turn to God. Otherwise, they would face judgment. And I think I have a really clear example of this right at my fingertips. Let me grab my Bible out here real quickly and turn to Jonah. And I think I can illustrate it this way. In the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, we have a passage that is constantly quoted by people who are called by my name, and I want to say specifically what they were called to do. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And we're told all the time that only applies to the Jewish people. It doesn't apply to anyone else. So let's go over those four things. My people, which are called by my name. Okay. Four things. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now, what I want to do next then is, in the short time we have left, I want to let our audience know what the Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Here we go. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. I want to share what the king of Nineveh actually said when he encouraged everyone to repent. And this is what he said. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, now keep those four things in mind. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, but do not let them eat or drink water. There's humble themselves. But lest man and beast be covered with sackcloth, humble themselves again, and cry mightily to God, there's pray. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. There is turn from his wicked ways. We have the king of Nineveh almost repeating what 2 Chronicles 7:14 said. If the king of Nineveh can do it, who is not a Jew, if he's required to turn from his wicked ways and requires others to turn from their wicked ways, we all are. There's a God who rules over all. Let us proclaim his kingdom, his majesty, his son, his law, and spread righteousness, goodness throughout the entire world. Because we only have the word of God or the word of man. And the word of man has killed 70 million babies in our nation.
Now, this event starts 1 hour from now. How do our listeners who live in this area register for this?
You know what? Registration is closed. We had a meeting site that only had about 11 room for 100 people. We've got 102 registered. So this time around, I hope we can do it again. This time around, the registration is closed.
Oh, wow. Well, is this going to be recorded?
It is definitely going to be recorded.
And how do our listeners get access to that?
Come to our website, thinkandreform.org. Or our website, futurechristendom.org, or christendom.press. Any one of those will be able to direct you how to be able to have access. You know, once we go do our editing and so forth, it should be up within a week or so.
Great. Well, as always, it's a pleasure having you on the program. Joel, I want you to return in the future and often. And I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody who listened today and took the time to write in questions. I want to thank Kathy Barnett for being our guest during the first hour, even though some of the circumstances that she was having to relive were uncomfortable. I think that's very noble of her, and I'm very honored to call her a sister in Christ. I hope that you all tune in tomorrow to hear Tom Buck, a Southern Baptist, give his appraisal on the recent Southern Baptist annual meeting and his view on if there is any hope for the world's largest Protestant denomination, or at least largest Baptist denomination. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.